All right. Hey, everybody. Roger Pipe from RogerViews.com. This is actually a first. I've never actually done my podcast with anyone. I've done some group podcasts, but never this before. I have a very special guest. I'm not even a guest, kind of a co-host, because she's awesome. Go ahead and tell everybody who you are.
Hi, I'm Kelly Shabari.
Hey, Kelly, thank you. We've known each other for a while.
We've known each other pretty much my entire career, so that's 10 years.
So, and we've talked about doing this kind of stuff before. We've never even done an actual interview.
No. We've talked a lot about a variety of topics, but I've never been on your show.
So we're not going to do like interview thing today. We're going to do an actual, maybe a series of podcasts if we can, because we have some cool topics. I'm going to kind of jump right into it. The AVN nominations, the nomination period is going on right now. They're whittling everything down. Nominations will be out soon. But there were a couple of big changes to the categories. And you and I talked about this, so we want to get this on tape. Yeah. I did a podcast already talking a little bit about it. The two major changes, changes in the parody category. What did you think about that?
The loss of the parody category? Well, I mean, the petty reaction would be, well, we're all tired of Axel Braun winning every single award, every single year, at every single award show that has a parody category. So there's that. On the flip side, you know, I did my share of parody films when I first got in the business. I did Biggest Loser. I did Roseanne. It seems to have been a lot of fun when it first got started, but I think that the interest has waned in terms of at least the sitcom stuff. And so it's kind of shifted over to superhero, which is kind of a parody, but not. I don't think it's the same as the original intent of a parody porn, which was, hey, let's take an existing sitcom or existing movie and make it kind of funny, but hey, there's also sex. Where superhero stuff, you know, there's just like the effects are so much. That's where a lot of the money goes into, is like the effects of the show and like all the green screen work and everything. And I don't know. I personally never found the superhero parody stuff to be funny. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, I know that was a big thing. Honestly, a couple years ago, I think for a while, parodies were the best features adult had going.
Yes,
I think some of the best writing, well-directed. And now I don't think that's true anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when, you know, Will Ryder was doing all of his parodies, there was a definite focus on dialogue and actual acting that was separate from the sex. And even though the acting may have been really cheesy, at least there was an attempt to try to be amusing in that kind of entertaining kind of way. And I think that I think that certain directors and producers have decided to like go into very serious, like, let's do parody seriously. And I think when you try to do parody seriously, you lose what parody's supposed to be about. So, yeah. Yeah.
For a while we had best parody comedy, best parody drama, best parody
superhero.
And then didn't they do a best parody? Maybe not. Like fairy tale, because Wicked was doing their fairy tale series, because basically the adult industry has parodied everything.
Yeah,
that it can, it, reality has, TV, all kinds of stuff.
And it has parodied things since like the 70s. You know, I mean, one of the most iconic films from the golden age of porn is the Alice in Wonderland parody, with the most beautiful girl in the world playing the lead. I forget what her name is, but you know, we've always taken like a non-sex storyline and made and added sex to it. And that's something that porn has always done. But I think that, I don't know, maybe it kind of follows mainstream Hollywood. We're not watching a lot of sitcoms anymore. We've really started watching a lot more dramas. We have a lot of film actors that are doing TV series. And yeah, I think that just American viewership of what they watch for entertainment has also changed.
One of my favorite non-porn parodies was a movie from the 80s called On Golden Blonde, which sounds like a parody of On Golden Blonde. The great thing about that is the actual movie is a parody of the movie Heaven Can Wait.
Oh.
Where Christy Canyon dies in the beginning and then tries out different bodies until she finds one that she likes.
Right.
So it was a spoof title that actually had a parody movie. But good movie if you can find it. Great. Great opening scene of Christy Canyon slow jogging after her sex. She gets killed by a car. So. No bra, tank top, 80s Christy Canyon jogging.
Heaven Can
Memorable to
Wait,
me.
that's Michael Landon, right?
Heaven Can Wait, though, that was the TV show that he did. Heaven Can Wait was Warren Beatty. It was a remake of an older movie. The version I remember is Warren Beatty is an NFL quarterback who gets
Oh, okay.
who an angel pulls him off his bike
Yes.
seconds before he gets hit. He wasn't supposed to die. He comes back then as a billionaire who buys the Rams, makes himself the quarterback. And it's really a very funny Warren Beatty movie. Diane Cannon plays his wife and Charles Grodin. They're trying to continually kill him again because
Wow.
they've killed him. And it's just it's
Well, and
super
that's the
funny
thing
movie.
is we've had like there are plenty of shows out there that could probably be parodied, you know, that are out there right now. It's just either producers aren't interested in doing the parody thing anymore, or you know, even directors like Will Ryder, they have kind of moved on to doing things like The Manson Family, like doing more documentary type rather than just straight up 80 sitcoms.
Well, they did all the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I've been saying at XRCO for a long time, we had four parody categories. It was time to cut them down. And honestly, I just got Justice League. It looks fantastic. Axel's superhero stuff's great. Well, that can go in the feature category.
Exactly. And then that's and that's important. Like Axel's work is visually stunning, you know. I'm not trying to downplay any of that, but I think, you know, it kind of follows with some of the other categories that have been nixed by AVN is when you're the only producer or the only studio that's making that content, then is it worth having an actual category for it? When you know that you're the only person that's gonna win, why have it? You know?
When it's hard to come up with five really worthy titles. And I made this argument in a podcast last year into XRCO. If you took our three parody categories, cut it down to one, you had a really
Exactly.
good five.
Yeah.
You didn't have three sets of five.
Exactly.
So that kind of leads us into the biggest one, the most controversial one, was AVN got rid of BBW Performer of the Year,
Yes.
which they introduced, I want to say, 5 years ago.
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
This would have
So
been year five.
okay, so 4 years ago, they decided to introduce BBW Performer of the Year to recognize a niche performers that were really starting to get recognized at that time. That the genre really sort of took a high rise.
And I think, you know, look, I don't work for AVN. I don't know all of the inner workings at especially how they, you know, figure out awards and categories and things like that. But it wouldn't surprise me if they chose to do BBW Perform of the Year rather than Release of the Year just because of the sheer lack of reviewers. At the time, there were really only two or three reviewers that even covered BBW porn. I think you, Apache Warrior, and Rob. And you know, Rob's no longer working in the industry, and you know, you're doing some review stuff, but Apache Warrior is pretty much the only guy that's reviewing plus size porn now. You know, and there's a couple other kind of you know, just general reviewers that will do the occasional BBW title. But I think that if there's not enough people reviewing the titles, then it's really difficult to say, well, which titles should get nominated. So it was easier to just talk about performers' bodies of work. And there's a certain history of AVN when they introduce a brand new category to look at performers, like established performers, like full bodies of work over their career, at least for the first couple of years. And that's what they did. And I think over time, they just had fewer and fewer people to pull from for, you know, in that way. You know, and a lot of that is just a lot of BBWs. When we had gotten started in the industry, we were very vocal in terms of mainstream media. We were doing radio shows. We were, you know, there was a BBW performer who got a booth at Adult Con, who had her booth and then had it refused after they accepted her money, and she went to Fox News. You know, she got a lawyer and went on a cable in a news show and pleaded her case, and it became, you know, newsworthy. And we don't really see a lot of that anymore. We see a lot of performers who, you know, are doing, you know, they're grinding on their hustle and they're doing the work that they want to do and the kind of work that they want to do, which is amazing. But I think that if people don't know about it, then it's difficult, you know, and if you are kind of insular in your own community and the fan base of your own community, but you're not trying to branch out to work with, say, a mainstream performer or a mainstream studio or doing interviews or, you know, writing blogs that then get picked up by a mainstream media outlet, then I think you kind of get forgotten. And I think that's kind of what's happened here. It's also very telling to see like kind of the arc of how performers, just regardless of genre or niche or specialty, how performers make their money now is so different from how performers made their money 10 years ago. You know, when I got in the industry in 2007, there was no webcam. You know, the only ways that girls could make money was either to work for a DVD company, have their own pay site, or do privates. And there weren't even really any BBW strip clubs, you know. So the whole feature touring thing was out of the question. So the only way that you could really make money as a plus size performer were escorting, DVD work, and having your own membership site. And occasionally maybe going and doing like a signing somewhere. Now you've got, you know, webcam, you've got phone sex, you've got clip stores. There are so many more other ways for a plus size performer to make money, in addition to DVD work and escorting and all these other things that have always been around. And I think that if you combine that with just the general slowdown of DVD production, I think that you just get fewer and fewer BBW focused DVDs out there. And AVN is adult video news. They're not adult webcam news. They're not adult, you know, escorting news. You know, they're specifically for video. And I think that there are very valid ways to fix that, you know, to meet the requirements of their award category, which is what the girls who came in around like 2007, 2008, 2009, you know, in that, those girls, which I guess includes me too, we all took our time, went to AVN individually and said, hey, what is it that we need to do to get a category? And we all were pretty much told the same thing, which is you need a DVD. You know, you need to have, and AVN's always been very kind of public about their guidelines every year when they talk about pre-noms. They might not talk about it throughout the year so that, you know, they're reminding you how to do it throughout the year. But when they make their announcement for the pre-noms every single year, which is an AVN, every single year, they say, look, your film has to be in a minimum of X number of stores, online or brick and mortar. For most of these girls, if they have their own like fan site where they sell signed DVDs, that's a store. You know, it's not difficult to meet the requirement of however many retail stores AVN asks for. And I think that a lot of performers, because they're not necessarily producers or studio owners, because their day-to-day work is so busy, I think that sometimes they just forget until it's too late every year. And they're like, oh, right, next year. And then next year comes around and they go, oh, crap, I forgot, next year. And they do that for a couple of years. And unfortunately, we've had a slowdown of BBW-specific DVDs. And if you don't have enough DVDs, it's kind of like parody or any other category. You know, if you don't have enough DVDs to create a nomination category, then why have the category?
I believe we will discuss some ideas on how we can bring that back. To touch on some of the things you talked about, we've talked about this. I've always been a fan of women of all sizes. I mean, you look at anybody who reads my stuff over 20 years, there's some insanely petite girls and there's girls of all sizes, all colors. I don't have a type.
Yeah, you talk about that every year on your show.
What I didn't like about BBW porn, is what I didn't like about all black porn, is it was bad porn. It wasn't the performers were not attractive. It was badly lit, bad makeup. And particularly BBW porn, the male talent they used was crappy. They used low-end guys who either, I don't think they really liked performing with BBWs. It was what they could do to get work. And when the genre started to, go ahead.
There were the guys that we refer to as mopes, right? Like, and again, it's generational. There is a generation of us, like people like you and I, age group wise, who know what a mope is. A lot of girls these days, like, because we don't work in that kind of system anymore, don't, if you tell them, oh yeah, he's a mope, like they would not even know what that meant. And, but yeah, most of the performers that worked with BBWs or still work with BBWs are people that, as the industry is concerned, would be referred to as mopes, which is they're just there to have an erection and to do the job. There's no requirement on their part to perform other than to just be a hard penis. And when, you know, I mean, yeah, it's porn. Yeah, it's you're watching people have sex so you can masturbate to it at home. But if there's no relatable dialogue or some sort of connection, then I don't know.
It definitely suffers. And there's a difference between Manuel Ferrara and a mope.
Yes.
The end product, just like if you wrote a great piece of music, there's a difference between a great guitarist and somebody who can just get by.
And look, there are some career mope performers out there who are awesome, right? But they're never going to be an A-list leading man. But it's kind of like Hollywood, where you have character actors and then you have the A-listers. You still need the character actors. Like, you still need the mopes. Like, they're... It's not a derogatory term.
Yeah.
It just means that they fulfill a requirement in the industry that's very much needed, but they're just not leading men.
And I almost feel like we're focusing too much on the male talent.
Right?
Because in addition, the lighting was bad. The makeup was bad. The production values were bad. And to me,
the angles were bad.
One thing, right? That's the other thing too. Is I've shot some scenes, and I shot some girls who I thought were really skinny, and I shot them from an angle and went, how does she look like she's 20 pounds overweight? I'm not shooting this from the right angle because she's not. So there was very little effort. And another thing that bothered me personally was there was a negative to almost all of the BBW stuff. There was a couple of BBW cheerleader movies. And the whole thing was having sex with these girls was punishment.
Right.
And I get it, everybody like has different fantasies. But that wasn't mine. It was like, wow, that's really mean and kind of horrible. I don't want to be mean and horrible to anybody.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of cute and you should be happy.
Yeah. Like when I did the parody for The Biggest Loser, you know, the premise was I was the bigger version and the lovely London Keys was the skinny version of me. And we both got to have sex scenes, but the whole overall premise was, you know, you get to have sex with a really hot girl at the end, even though she was maybe kind of hot when she was fat. So yeah.
See, even that was, but some of the older stuff was really negative. And again, it just didn't make for good porn for me, so I didn't want to watch it. So I reviewed very little of it.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, in the genre kind of raised up a little bit.
Yeah.
April did some really good stuff.
Yeah.
You did some great stuff. You did some very high-profile projects.
It's a lot of, look, I think that there, in my head, there were three key people who really made plus-size porn what it was. At the time that got plus size porn to the place where Avian was like, yes, we see the artistic value of the product that's being created and we see enough of it and it's on DVD that we can actually make this a category. Because we basically asked what the rules were and then we followed their rules. April and Carlos, the late Carlos Batz, was an amazing, you know, director and visionary. And April is a gorgeous muse. And together, they made some really, really nice, like, they called it art core, you know. And they also had deals with Good Vibrations and Adam and Eve. And they had, you know, a lot of large studios believing in their work. And unfortunately, that stopped when Carlos passed away. And that was the first year we had the category. And Courtney Trouble in San Francisco was, you know, responsible for creating queer porn. And part of queer porn is plus size people. You know, it also includes like tattooed people and gender fluid people and people with shaved heads and, you know, and quirky just gender identities as well as sexualities. And so it was a completely different genre. But there's a section of that that was plus size. And she made some very notable plus size projects. You know, and then I kind of fall into that mix because my goal was always, what exists for mainstream porn that doesn't exist for plus size? Let's go do that. And so, you know, it was, oh yeah, there's no Star Showcase. Let's do that. There's no sex ed movie. Let's do that. There's no plus size girl in Penthouse. Let's do that. There's no plus size girl who has a fleshlight. Let's do that. So my goal was more to at least increase plus size visibility, even if it was me doing it. you know, and a lot of the stuff that I did for like next to nothing, just because I wanted the visibility. Unfortunately, nobody really kind of like followed. You know, I really wish that like after I had done a sex ed movie, somebody else should have done one, even if it wasn't with the same studio. You know, they could have done it on their own. When the Penthouse thing happened, you know, all the girls could have called Penthouse and said, "Hey, what are we doing now? Now that you have one, now what's the next step?" But I don't know if that happened. Or again, because I'm not all seeing, maybe it happened and it didn't pan out. I'm not sure. But there was a definite boom of plus size porn, which is probably like 2010 to 2014.
The productions got better. I mean, Evil Angel has to get a lot of credit
Yeah.
because they're
Oh,
about as
and
good.
Aiden Starr with Evil Angel. And oh, I see his face. Joey Silvera, right? Joey did the first plus size line for Evil. And then he moved back to doing trans stuff. And Aiden ran off and did Marshmallow Girls, and she's kind of stopped doing that too. And that's always been the case for the longest time, as long as I've been in the industry, is mainstream studios will try their hand at doing BBW. When I first got in the industry in 2007, Red Light District and Zero Tolerance were doing one title a year each. And so it's kind of like this like mad dash, like try to be one of the five girls in that one title a year. And if you got to be in that title, then you kind of made it. Or at least you were recognized for being like a legitimate plus size porn performer. And then they dropped those lines. You know, and New Sensations had a plus size line. They dropped that. Evil Angel had two plus size lines with two different directors, and they dropped that. It's Wicked did their plus size sex movie. They haven't done a plus size movie since. Vivid, I think, tried Vivid Plus in like before I got in the business, I think 2005, when they were still doing like Vivid Alt, you know, and those don't exist anymore. So at this point, it's just kind of taking a look around to see which studios haven't done a plus size line yet and maybe approaching them. You know, Greg Lansky has Tushy and Blacked and Vixen. It would make sense for him to try to focus on like a curvy girl line, which maybe also includes some BBWs. I don't think it's a financial thing. I think it's I think it's a mixture of the profitability of DVDs, and the lack of that, and also the talent pool has changed, you know.
And it's interesting because if you do look on clip stores, and even that have a top 40 stores, you're going to find, I've found, at least a quarter to a third are focused on plus size.
Yeah,
So
the market's there.
it's popular enough with the market, maybe not the mainstream DVD, not the vanilla DVD.
But I think that also marketing, you know, and I'm biased because I'm a PR person and a marketer, is marketing has a lot to do with it. You know, if you make a movie, again, and nobody knows about it, does it exist? It's like, you know, a tree in a forest kind of thing. You know, Hustler has done a couple of BBW movies in the past year. I've heard nothing about them. You know, I mean, if when I go to like X Critic or Adult DVD Talk, then I might see a review for it, but I've never read a press release about it on AVN. And if nobody's talking about it, then how is a reviewer supposed to nominate it for a category?
And just traditionally, it seemed like the bulk of the BBW reviews came out after the nominations, which is really easy for me
Right.
as a critic. Okay, these are the five I have to watch. All right, well, then I'll review them now.
Yeah.
And usually one or two maybe I had seen during the year because they were easy to not pick through.
It's also, you know, the this is gonna be a really funny way of putting it. The really annoying persistence of people like myself and April and Carlos and Courtney, you know, like we refuse to be ignored. And you know, if that meant we did interview after interview for free, if that meant we paid her own fare to fly to New York to do an interview with Huffington Post. If that means you're doing DVD giveaways, if that means that you're going to retail stores and badgering them to the point where they will buy 10 DVDs off of you because you're not going through a distributor, and they usually go through a distributor, but you go and hammer. Like, Carlos was amazing at that. He would go, from what I've heard, and just go to retail stores and just basically just push and push and push and push and push until a store owner would buy a handful of copies. And then it would sell out because it was such an amazing film. So I think that we just don't, it's a combination of performers' focus on what they're producing has changed, because they're no longer really producing DVDs, but they're still doing pay sites. So it's not that difficult to take that content and put it on DVD first and then put it on a website 3 months later, because AVN doesn't recognize comps.
Right. And for those who don't know, that's the AVN rule, that if it's on DVD first and then goes on the web, it's fine. It's one of the reasons Brazzers never got nominated.
Exactly.
Because they basically, all they did was web comps.
Yeah. And one of the largest plus size porn companies that exists in this country, they put all their stuff out on web first and then DVD. But unfortunately, like, you know, all you have to really do was take that web content and put it on DVD first, wait 3 months, then put it on a website. Just that small adjustment would have made all of those movies eligible. And I don't think that I'm the only person that knows that.
It's obviously a choice they're making for economic reasons.
Yes.
They probably think it's better to serve our paying audience rather than go toward what AVN's done.
Yeah.
But clearly what AVN did here made the BBW community angry. But it to be fair, I think, and it sounds like you think, it makes sense. Because looking at the category, you're no longer performing.
Right.
April's no longer performing, as far as I know.
I read something recently that there's a film that she's in that's coming out, but she's focusing, as much as I can tell, is her Vivid radio show.
Carla still works.
But Carla, as far as, correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously I don't know everybody. Carla doesn't produce her own stuff in terms of movies.
Right.
I mean, she obviously produces her own stuff for her website. But she is not a DVD producer, per se.
Right. She was working for other companies.
Right. And Courtney has her own production company. She took a short break to go to school, and it appears that she's back, and she has some films coming out soon. So who knows? Maybe there'll be a resurgence.
And honestly, having watched a lot of Courtney's stuff, it really doesn't focus enough on BBW. Right. If you watch it, you wouldn't go that you're trying to categorize it. And
right.
Again, AVN has to go through piles and piles and piles of stuff.
Right.
And if you give them a movie that, well, is this a
BBW movie?
Is this a genderqueer movie? Is this an alt movie? Is it a BBW? What, some of the performers are BBW, some are not. It makes it a little tougher. So she doesn't focus strictly on that.
No.
So there's not really enough DVD content to warrant even a release category, let alone then a performer category.
Well, and the thing is, there are plenty of DVDs. Score Group, you know, has XL Girls and Voluptuous, and they have a lot of BBW girls who are more, these days, local to Florida than they are to L.A. And so those girls exist. The other company in Florida, they put out their content on the web first and then on DVD. But there are DVDs. So if people prefer to purchase their plus-size porn on DVD, they exist. But they're not making it in a way that makes it eligible for an award show. So it's one of those things that I've kind of jokingly always said, and a bunch of like more veteran BBW performers agree with me, which is you kind of, especially in this day and age, the way porn and money aren't working well together, you almost have to choose if you want the fame or the fortune, because you can't really have both, especially if you're a niche performer. You know, we don't have a studio, a contract star system for plus size girls. We don't even have agents that handle plus size girls. You know, I was signed with World Modeling when I first got in the industry. But by the time Jim South signed me, I had already worked with all the plus size companies. So he's like, "Well, I'll sign you, you know, I could put you on the site, but I don't think I can get you any work. And he didn't, you know, because I'd already worked with everybody. Because that niche really depends on word of mouth. So, yeah.
So, I like the category. I don't mind the idea of being removed for the right reasons. I don't like that it's been removed. But to me, that's a symptom.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think that losing the BBW category is a really sad day when that happened. But AVN has also been very vocal about how it's not gone forever. It's just gone this year. You know, maybe there's going to be a flood of DVDs in the next 12 months, and then the category can come back. You know, the year that we did Guide to Wake Assess Plus Size, ours was, I think it was our film, and there was one other film that was a sex education film. So there were only two titles. So guess what AVN did that year? They got rid of the educational title category. So I missed out on an AVN award, or the possibility of an AVN award, because it was the only film. And so I understand the process. I may not like it, but I respect the process. And especially when it's something as wide a genre as you know, BBW or even parody. You know, I think that if enough studios make sure that their content comes out on DVD first, make sure that there are reviewers reviewing that content, I think, you know, there's so many BBW fans out there and so many review sites, they're actually actively looking for reviewers. You know, all a group of plus size girls really need to do is like solicit their fans and say, hey, which one of you is a good writer that likes to review porn films? We'll send you free porn films if you're right for X Critic or ADT. A lot of it is just logic and it's just business. It's not ego. It's not AVN got rid of BBW, the BBW category, because, you know, somebody said on Twitter that AVN is like Trump. And that AVN is misogynistic, which misogyny has nothing to do with size. But it has nothing to do, this loss is not nothing to do with any specific ego or emotion. It's just logic, which means that it can be fixed. If it was an emotional reason, it's harder to fix. This is a logical reason it was removed, which means that logically it can come back.
And just to kind of recap, DVD is key. If BBW performers and fans want that category back, there have to be BBW stars in DVDs, not just on clip stores, not just on webcam, which is all fantastic. And honestly, if a performer wants to make their money that way and they do clips and they say, I'm not waiting 6 months until I get seven scenes for my DVD, I want to put it out now and make the money now, totally
then,
fine.
Then great. But then don't be upset if you don't have a category for you.
Because, and I've talked about this in other categories, what ends up happening for critics, and again, see 200-300 movies a year. You could be someone like me, I've done so many. Yeah, I'm going to gravitate towards something I think I want to watch because I don't want to sit through 2 hours of something I don't like.
Right.
So
I'm the same way.
You know, I want to see Justice League. I might not want to see any other movie all week that comes out. But what ends up happening then is, And I'm methodical. I know Don Houston was methodical. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to watch everything. I'm going to lock my door. I'm not going to see my family for 2 months sometimes. Oof. And I get tired of it, but I'm going to go through everything and be fair. It's very easy to go, I really like Kelly. I didn't see what she did this year,
right.
But I really like Kelly. Or I don't know any of these people. I know Carla Lane. I'll vote for Carla. That's not what I did.
Right. Okay?
But I get
it wouldn't
where,
surprise me. Yeah.
Who had the best PR campaign. Right? Oh, well, saw April on lots of interviews. She must be the best.
Right. Well, look, a good analogy for me is the Oscars. Some of the independent films that I've seen over the years are leaps and bounds better films with more emotion and more, you know, cinematography than some of these Oscar-winning films, right? Or Oscar-nominated films. They just don't get the same recognition for a number of reasons. It's the money they spend on marketing and PR and how many people are they schmoozing and how many interviews are they doing with the press? And are they doing a press junket? And are they, you know, soliciting morning radio? And are they, you know, are they doing little fun clips on BuzzFeed? Like it's a machine, you know, it's a business. It's an industry. It's not a hobby. And if you want to have fun, you know, and porn is fun because everybody gets to have sex and look pretty, and everybody's like, oh, I masturbate to you all the time, which is great. And if that's your focus, because you want to have a really good time making some money doing something you love doing, then great. But then don't focus on an award.
Like I said, I would love to see the award come back, but there needs to be something behind it. What I don't want is it just to become a popularity contest where it doesn't mean anything.
Right. Which
Because
unfortunately it is right now, because now AVN's added BBW as a fan category to appease the angry
yeah.
BBWs.
But
Yeah.
as I don't mind fan categories. That's a complete popularity contest. Awesome. I love that. What they did, and we didn't even talk about this, is they moved it into a, they're calling it fetish or niche, I forget
It's
now.
called niche.
Niche performer of the year. So, and this is, I've done this in my podcast, so porn people are probably bored. We have the fetish category. And then I always say, well, it depends. Do you like feet? Do you like bondage? Do you like BBW? Whatever other, these sort of catch-all categories I get, but they're really hard because I don't particularly like feet.
Right.
So I'm going to review 8 of these movies, and I'm probably going to put those near the bottom because they do nothing for me.
Right. And that's where BBW was. BBW was in a category called specialty until 2012 or 13, or I'm not doing the math right now. But you know, it also says a lot about the kind of content that plus size performers are making right now. You know, a lot of plus size content isn't what's traditionally considered porn. A lot of BBW content right now is traditionally considered fetish. And a lot of plus size performers might take issue with that and say, well, I'm not a fetish, I'm a preference. And yes, as a human being, you are a preference, not a fetish, although there are some people who fetishize plus size women. So I understand that argument. But if the content that you're making doesn't involve traditional sex,
And
then
it's a
it doesn't
fetish.
fall under traditional pornography. It falls under fetish pornography. So if you're doing a squashing scene or a face sitting or sploshing or gaining and feeding, which is very popular with plus size performers, or you know, any number of those kind of weight and size based adult entertainment clips, but it's not sex, then it's not considered traditional porn, and it just kind of gets relegated into the fetish category.
And fetish porn has long had that.
Yes.
Hardcore bondage scenes that don't have sex fell outside of that. So this has been a great conversation.
And there have been. There are other, like, if you are the best plus size cam girl in the world, Camming Con has its own award. You know, Fetish Con has its own fetish awards every year. This is now getting into their third year. There are plenty, you know, there is a plus size fan fest that's been going on every year. I'm sure they have their own categories for awards. There are other award shows, but I do understand the weight that AVN has just because it's AVN.
Sure.
They're the oldest and the longest running, and they call themselves the Oscars of porn. And so even though you have 20 other smaller trophies, you still want the AVN. But I hope that, you know, plus size performers understand that this is it's really just a business and logic-based decision and not ego. Nobody
And
hates them.
it's really hard. The performers themselves can't necessarily make this change unless they're producers. So the ones that are really angry on Twitter that they lost their category, yeah, now you're gonna have, if you want to get it back, somebody has to produce DVDs or it's not gonna happen. And it is hard for a
Yeah,
performer that's making a week-to-week paycheck with camming and clips, and that's how you pay your rent every week. It's really hard to say, you know what, I'm just gonna store up the best stuff for 6 months and wait. And
That's hard,
that's true
you know.
of mainstream porn too. I'm sure Jules Jordan would like to release some of his brand new stuff
Right.
without holding it back, but make a decision to hold it back, release it as a DVD so it's award eligible. Well, this has been a great conversation.
Yes.
Thank you very
Thank you.
much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This first of a series, we're going to do a couple more of these, but I thought this was a really important one to bring you on because you have such great thoughts on it, and you are part of really the best time for BBW performers as far as AVN, and we'd like to see that come back.
Yeah, I agree. I am not reveling in the loss of the BBW category at all, even though I'm no longer really performing. And I think that a lot of it also has to do with size, you know, and I think maybe we could talk about that at a different time, but the BBW performer as a performer has changed because of the history of studios and what they consider to be plus size or BBW or SSBBW. And, you know, currently we have mostly SSBBW performers. But the other side of that is that girls that would be considered BBW in 2007 are now considered mainstream performers. People like Siri, Angela White, you know, all these super curvy performers in 2005, they would have been completely branded as BBW, you know? So on one hand, it's cool. It's really cool that, like, you know, the work that a lot of performers did over the past 10 years have allowed for more acceptance of curvier performers, including things like Siri refusing to be branded a BBW, right? And getting a lot of flack for that. But she went to bat and she said, no, I'm not a plus size performer. I am just a curvy girl, but this is a natural body shape for me, you know? And I think if it hadn't been for people like Siri, then Angela probably wouldn't be considered a mainstream performer.
I mean, very, very possibly, very probably, yeah. We're about to enter a year where every possible award goes to Angela White.
Right, exactly.
And certainly that is a legacy of performers of different sizes, yes, becoming accepted and popular because you know how I feel about her.
Yes,
you know how
she's
feel about
fantastic.
Her. And she was
I will come back just to do a scene with her.
She was one of the first performers that really was in a high-profile black scene for Lansky. And she's not contract girl,
yes,
digital playground, wicked girl size at all. And that's part of what makes her awesome. And I think that's a positive legacy that can be built on. We've laid the blueprint out for performers who want to promote their own DVDs. So someone needs to pick up the ball. And Avian is very logical, like you said, and they'll bring it back. If there's product to review and to award, they'll bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, Angela is a prime example of being a self-marketer. You know, she had her own production company in Australia. She booked her own scenes, shot her own stuff. She hired a crew. She did all of the work. And then she came to the States. And then she did so well in the States, but she has a background of just her self-promotion machine is like, she doesn't just rely on Mark Spiegler to like promote all her stuff for her as an agent. She does all her stuff herself. And I think at the end of the day, if you look at, there's always been this like conversation of living the porn star lifestyle. And a lot of like 18, 19, 20 year old girls are like, I'm going to come in and live the porn star lifestyle and you'll be up all night and party and do drugs and this and that. If you actually look at real porn stars, mainstream porn stars or contract girls, and you look at their day to day, they have no time for that. They get up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and they are just go, go, go. They're either producing or they're directing or they're performing or they're doing a workshop or they're doing an interview or, you know, like it's nonstop all day, every day, you know? And I know because I did that. And I'm just like, I've decided to take a break. And it's a really nice break. The fact that I don't have to be up at 5 in the morning is so nice. Yeah, but it's a lot of work. And I'm not saying that the BBW girls don't work. Trust me, I've seen their work ethic. They are hands down some of the hardest workers in the business. But I think that they need to figure out what they want to concentrate on. Do they want to just make money? Or do they want to make money but also get an award? And if they want to get an award, there are guidelines.
Sounds good. Thank you again, Kelly.
Thank you.
And all right.